O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What is the Christmas spirit? That's a question and a phrase we hear a lot in this season, the Christmas spirit. Maybe we're being told you should have more of this. Or maybe we're trying to drum it up and to create the environment conducive to the Christmas spirit. It's got this general connotation of generosity, kindness, love for one another. Maybe there's vibes of hot chocolate and a cozy fire and warm sweaters. Maybe the Christmas spirit is shopping and spending too much money and the anxiety that comes along with that. Maybe for you, and all the hustle and bustle of parties and getting your house decorated and gifts wrapped and all the things that pile up at Christmas, maybe the Christmas spirit is just stress. For some of us, this season is marked by grief and the sweet memories that we hold of the loved ones who are no longer with us. Maybe that's part of the Christmas spirit for some of us. One classic story that embodies the search for the Christmas spirit is Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol. Now, in my house, we only watch the authorized version of this story with the Muppets. It's the perfection of everything that Charles Dickens meant The Christmas Carol to be, and it's certainly Michael Caine's finest performance of his long and storied acting career. If you're not familiar with the story, Ebenezer Scrooge is a miserly old man, greedy, cruel. He hates everyone, especially the poor. And he thinks the poor should either take care of themselves or else die, so they're not a burden on society. And he carries on this miserliness, this cruelty, until this moment that he encounters the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And with this encounter comes a change. A new perspective on life, and his bah humbug turns to joyful songs and praise and laughter. He has an emotional reawakening brought about by supernatural intervention. We might call it a divine attitude adjustment. And some of you are probably thinking, I know someone else who could use one of those next to me. A Christmas Carol presents this change, this transformation, as a call to look inward, introspectively, and through seeing how the world around you is affected by your presence, to realize then what's most important. Love, family, kindness, these are true riches. Charles Dickens wrote in The Voice of Scrooge, "I will honor Christmas in my heart, and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach." The goal here is the Christmas spirit all year round. How does that sound for some of us, depending on our definition of the Christmas spirit? For Scrooge, it meant every day will start with a grateful prayer and a thankful heart. So the Christmas spirit then, in Dickens' telling, comes out of this new perspective, a new appreciation that these three ghosts, these supernatural apparitions, had brought to him. And what it looks like then is a renewed joy and a gratitude that shows itself through kindness and generosity and laughter. And these are all great things. These are all wonderful things. We can and should appreciate all of our blessings. May they always lead us to gratitude and to joy and to sharing with generosity with others. But I believe the Bible gives us a different Christmas spirit. I believe the Bible tells us that the Christmas spirit goes deeper than this, and it comes out of a different source. And so the transformation that it brings is so much more wonderful. So I want to explore what the Christmas spirit is tonight from the perspective of the shepherds out in their fields. The shepherds were the most unlikely to hear the good news on that first Christmas. And like Scrooge, these shepherds in Luke chapter 2, they also have a supernatural apparition come to them that changes the course of their lives. We're told, as they were keeping watch over their flock by night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And just like Ebenezer Scrooge, they're filled with great fear. And into the darkness of that night out in the fields, a great light shone upon them. And the angel exhorts them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." What is this news? That unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, before we go on, we need to understand something about shepherds. They were not a respectable bunch. They were one of the lowest classes of society. They were dirty, smelly, undesirables. They had no influence and very little standing in the culture of first century Israel. So, for the angels, the glory of heaven, to come and proclaim the good news to them first, before anyone else, it's kind of like if you have really good news to share, a new baby announcement, or a promotion at work, or a cancer-free diagnosis. It's as if you were to bypass all your family and friends and rush to go tell your garbage man. No shade to garbage men. They're crucial pillars of society, and we need them. But think about bypassing all the important people in your life to go tell someone on the margin. That's what it's like for the angels to come to these shepherds. And what's more, listen to this. The angels say to these smelly shepherds, "Unto you is born this day a Savior." The Savior has come to them, for them, of all people in society. He's come to these people who are on the margin, who are less than in some other people's eyes. And this should tell us something about God. This should tell us something about God, and who does he see as worthy to receive the good news? This is for everyone, from the lowest to the highest. This is good news of great joy for all the people, the angel said. It's for all the people because God does not care about your status. God does not care about your socioeconomic standing in the culture. He does not care about your educational level. He does not care about anything else that you might use to compare yourself to others. The good news is for you. It's for everyone, regardless of who you are. And this should change how we see everyone in our lives. So this is the first point I want to make about the Christmas spirit tonight. To know that this is good news for all people, no matter who they are. From your loved ones, to all of us who are gathered here tonight, to the atheist and the skeptic, to your work enemy, to the Amazon delivery driver working long days this past week, to the Kroger employee bagging up your last-minute purchases for your Christmas dinner that you were in a rush and you snapped at a little bit. This good news is for them. It's for you. It's good news of great joy for all people. Everyone you meet, everyone you encounter, from the lowest to the highest, a Savior has come for them. Will you make sure they know about it? Will you make sure they know the heart of God that's for them through you? Through how you speak to them? Through how you relate to them? How you treat them? Because the good news is for every single person, that means God has seen to it that every single person has worth, has a dignity to receive this good news. Even the smelliest of shepherds, even the most deplorable in society. This is good news of great joy for everyone, and everyone needs to hear about it. Let's go on with the shepherds. Because suddenly the whole host of heaven joins in with the angel and sings, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This news of what has happened is so glorious and so good that all of heaven is rejoicing in it. And this is news that has effect. It brings peace to all those with whom God is pleased. That means all whom receive this good news. Now, the fact that this is good news is important for us to consider. Because where Scrooge's ghost told him to look within, they took him on this introspective journey. The divine announcement to the shepherds told them, "Look over there! Look at something glorious has happened over in the town next door. Go there and see this great miracle that will change your life." Remember, when the angels declare good news, news is just something has happened. Something has happened here that changes everything. And this news brings glory to God, and it gives peace to his people on earth. So here's the next point I want to make about the Christmas spirit. It's about receiving good news for us. This is good news for us today. This happened 2,000 years ago, and it's still good news for us today. Unto us, a Savior has been born. Something has happened that changed everything. This is what the church has always called the gospel. Gospel is a word that just means good news, literally. And that means that Christianity is not just good advice. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a new perspective on life. It's news. Something has happened that changed everything. And a lot of the message of the world that we hear around us, like Scrooge, teaches us to look within for meaning, for purpose, for joy in a different perspective that will then change us. But the gospel says, no, don't look within. Look outside of yourself. Look to this event in history and behold the one who has come to be a savior for you. Something from the outside, changing us on the inside. Something that gives true peace, gives true joy, gives everlasting life. So the salvation that we have through the gospel doesn't come because we get an attitude adjustment or a new perspective. It comes because we have a Savior who has come to us. So the Christmas spirit is really about where you're looking. Are you looking inward, trying to drum up love and joy and generosity in yourself? Or are you looking to Bethlehem, the city of David, and this child born to be your Savior? Because it's from this good news outside of ourselves that peace comes, that transformation happens. Where can joy be found? Where can peace be found? Where can life be found? It can be found in a manger, in a stable, 2,000 years ago, for us. Will you receive this good news of great joy for yourself? Well, as we continue with the shepherds, the angels depart from them and they leave them in the dark again. And the shepherds rush to go to Bethlehem to see this great thing that has happened. And they come and they find it, just as the angels have said, a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in an animal's feeding trough. Everyone is in awe and wonder, for this tiny newborn in front of them is the Savior of the world. That God himself has come to us. He himself is the good news of salvation for the whole world. And this, more than anything, is what changes the shepherds, beholding the Savior and adoring him. And seeing Jesus, seeing their Savior, leads them into worship. Verse 20, we're told that when the shepherds left, they were glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And this, in the end, is the Christmas spirit, glorifying and praising God. Knowing the magnitude of this gift, the good news that is for us and for our salvation, that God himself has come to be with us and be our Savior, this leads us into worship. This leads us into song. This leads us into praising our God who has done this wonderful thing. With gratitude, with humility, we cannot but sing the praises of our Lord who has done this wonderful thing. And once again, worship is what draws us outside of ourselves. We're directing our attention, orienting our hearts and lives toward the one who is our Savior. And joining in with all the angels, the whole hosts of heaven, we sing, "Glory to God in the highest." This is the Christmas spirit, to sing the praises of our Savior. So to recap, the true Christmas spirit, which the Bible invites us into, this holy night invites us into, the Christmas spirit is knowing that this good news is for all people in our lives, everyone that we encounter. The Christmas spirit is receiving this gift for ourselves and letting it lead us into worship and song. So I hope we can see in this contrast between A Christmas Carol and shepherds on that first Christmas where the true Christmas spirit comes from. Because Ebenezer Scrooge, by divine intervention, had an encounter with himself, his past, his present, and his future. The shepherds had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And it's only one of these that will save us. And only one of these that will transform us. Only one of these will bring that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. For Christ, who came as a vulnerable baby, died vulnerably on a cross to take away the burdens of our sin and shame and to make a way for us to be saved. You can't do this by looking within. You can't have your sins washed away. You can't be reconciled to God just by drumming it up in yourself and by changing your perspective. We need a Savior. And the Savior has come to us. He came down to bring the whole world up to him. This is truly good news. And so the invitation for us now is to receive this good news with joy, with thanksgiving, and to let it transform us. To let it stir in us the Christmas spirit that flows out of us into this world. And so, my friends, my brothers and sisters, tonight, may I invite us to step into this true Christmas spirit begun this holy night long ago. The good news that changes everything for us and that is expressed in deep joy, perfect peace, genuine love, and abundant generosity, because our Savior has been born to us. So Merry Christmas, and may God bless us, everyone. Amen.